episode 1137, The Expanse, book one, review. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I'm Ben DiBono. We're back.
Ben, I gotta say,
you didn't like it.
I don't know about this one yet, so I was looking forward to this conversation so that you could help me like this more and or intrigue me about the coming books, because I still have them on, no, they're not on hold. I've made my request through the library.
Right.
I'm waiting now.
Yeah.
But when they show up, will I actually pull the trigger? Let's find out tonight.
Okay.
So
you've completed Leviathan Wakes, book one of The Expanse.
Yeah. Why don't you just quickly give a history of this series to the people that maybe don't have any idea what we're talking about.
Right. So The Expanse, 9-book series plus handful of novellas from James S.A. Corey, which is a pseudonym for the authors Daniel Abraham and Ty Frank. Ty Frank being George R. Martin's personal assistant. And since George last published a novel, Ty Frank has published an entire series.
A nine-book series. And how many seasons of the TV show are there? 5 or 6?
6.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, again, just hear this.
Dance of Dragons, yeah.
2011. A Dance with Dragons comes out by George R. R. Martin.
Yep.
And it seems like, well, the next one should come out soon.
Very soon.
But since that book was published, his friend, his assistant, published 9 books and some short stories and started a television series which ran for 6 seasons.
And that got canceled and revived.
And we're yet to see another George R. R. Martin book. That's impressive. That's actually impressive.
I mean, in fairness, I guess he did publish a Blood and Fire or whatever, that the history of the Targaryens, but we have not seen another novel.
And I think you and I agree, we are not going to. It's over, right?
It's over. Yeah.
Like maybe like he'll pass away and they'll release something.
But maybe, you know, James S.A. Corey will complete.
That's not a bad idea. That's actually not a bad idea.
Because Daniel Abraham is his friend too.
Why do you know, this is not about the series, but why would two friends use a pseudonym?
I don't know.
Why not just say?
I've never heard the story behind it.
And as a follow-up question, should we do this? Should we make up a fake name and write some books together? I mean, we've teased this idea of writing books together, but we haven't ever said we'd use a pseudonym.
Right. What would our pseudonym be?
Matt DiBono.
People might see through that one. Let's keep workshopping it.
All right. So let's talk through, listeners. We're just going to talk through the first book in spoilers.
So I just started book 5. Yeah, I think we got to spoil book 1.
Okay, so we'll spoil book 1 here, and then I might have been spoiling me a little bit on some future things, because I'm really on the fence on if I want to keep going.
So why don't you tell me, because I've cut you loose before from stuff that I love Cryptonomicon, and I told you just to not read it because you just didn't seem to get it.
Wheel of Time?
Yeah, Wheel of Time is like such a special category for me because I recognize all of its flaws. I think Cryptonomicon is a legitimately great book, and I'm much more disappointed that you didn't like that one than Wheel of Time.
I thought about going back to it, but yeah, so this one, I gave it a 3.5. So as a starting point, that's not bad.
No.
I got much better. It was a slow start.
And I think the series continues to get better from there.
Okay, so slow start, story picks up, it gets better. I haven't reviewed my book review yet to give you my exact notes, but essentially, I never loved it, but I did enjoy it. So there was never a point where I'm thinking of when we did Senlin Ascends and that series.
Yeah.
I just remember feeling like, what a pleasure it is to read this book. This, for Leviathan Wakes, which is book one in this Expanse series, I thought it's pretty good. I can see some cool things here, but so I just never fell in love with it.
Tell me the things that you, because I think this will give, and I'm not fishing to like critique your critique, because although I am really enjoying the series, it's not like, this isn't like you're flying in giving Dr. Strangelove sometimes very funny. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's good, but it's pop culture type of good. It's not like, mm-hmm, I feel like you're missing one of the great literary works of our time, but I want to hear what you like, because that'll let me know I should recommend you
this
continue or not.
I love this question. I actually like some of the political intrigue, where there's these different political parties or
Mars and the Earth and Mars the Belters.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And so I like the tension there. I like some of that intrigue that's happening behind the scenes. Less interested in the virus itself and kind of the gory nature of it, but very interested in the origin of the virus.
Yes.
Which there were just shades of three body problem, but just shades.
Yep.
Okay. So I did like that.
Yep.
So I kind of told you, like, in one hand, I don't necessarily like some of the gross aspects of the story.
Sure.
I do like what that plot line is based on. I mean, which we're spoiling. So, like,
the protomolecule. So you don't like the zombie part, but you like the intrigue of what is this thing and where did it come from?
Yeah. I mean, in this first book, they lay out, and again, listeners, last chance, spoilers here. They laid out that aliens at some point in Earth's history sent this, let's just say virus, although I'm not positive it's a virus, to Earth to guide evolution. It got sidetracked, caught up in some other orbit. So Earth evolved the way it did with us. And I guess I don't know the implications. I imagine that now that alien species was going to pop back up eventually. I mean, I feel like listeners, I know this is not the best review for you. It's mostly for me. I kind of want you to, I just want you to tell me, but I know that's not fair to save some things for way at the end. Let's do only the book here. And then at the end, start spoiling me on the things I'm interested in.
Yeah. And this has a pretty, so I'm actually, I think I liked it more than you, but similar to you, where I got more intrigued as it went on. And where I was really sold on the series is when we get to the end. There's two things that really sold me in kind of the last act of the series. The first one is when, you know, they have the aero station and the nukes are coming in and then the station starts moving itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was one of the coolest moments in the book. And you realize, holy crap, something else is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns out that Julia Mao is the station at that point. Like, that was a really cool reveal. And then the thing that really started to intrigue me for what happens next is when Aero Station crash lands on Venus, and suddenly where you are, things are beginning to happen on Venus.
It seems like they're building a civilization.
There's something happening on Venus, and that I found really, really intriguing.
Okay. Yes. So when we talked at the end of the James Bond episode, that was the episode before this one here in the feed, I had asked you, so is Julie alive or dead? And you said, I don't know how to answer that question.
Right.
And now I get what you're saying.
Because she's literally the station.
Because this, I don't know if it, stop me if I'm not right. Is it a virus?
Kind of.
So this virus absorbed her memories. So she, her, I believe her body is dead. Do you believe that's true? Or is it changed?
I'm still figuring some of that out.
Okay, let me ask you this. Book two, I could imagine Venus is mentioned, but we're not visiting with Miller and Julie. Is that true for book two?
Yes.
I think that's the right choice. Like, if I was to pick where the story would go, I would say, let the politics build up more. There's something happening on Venus, but we're not going to go and talk with them right now.
Yes.
So that, okay, good. So I have
the ending of book two. And I won't tell you what, but it starts to put a lot of the Venus stuff into motion in a very big way. And that sets up book three.
Oh, man. I mean, I thought this might happen. Now you are kind of making me more interested.
And book three. So to seize on two things you like. So you said you like the politics aspect. Book two really ramps that up. So in Leviathan Wakes, you have two point of view characters. You get four in book two.
Is Fred one of them?
No.
Though
Fred does have one of the novellas.
It seems like Fred's going to be like a new president or something.
Fred's around throughout the whole thing. But you get a character named Avasarala, she's high up in the UN, and she's their best character, hands down.
Okay.
In fact, she's mentioned, but she's not really in three or four, and I found that a little bit disappointing.
Because she's a POV character in two and not in three or four?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
I think she's coming back, but she's such a strong character. And she really is great from the political aspect. And then three really ramps up with what is happening with the protomolecule and the, you know, the alien origin behind it and all of that. And so they're both very, very good books.
All right. Okay. This is making me interested. I want to ask you a question I'm going to write down for post-credit. Let's see. What could I ask you that's okay for this book? I guess I don't have anything right now. Should we go into some spoilers? Yeah. I feel like I can't.
Yeah.
What I want to get from this conversation is personal for me. I want to know, should I continue and hear some things that would make me interested?
Okay.
This is a question that wouldn't require spoilers. What do you know about the show and how they adapt it? So we're looking at 6 seasons instead of 9 books, so it's not... So this is one thing I
do know, that Amazon, who revived the show, they have not finished the books. So they're still... the show only goes through book 6.
Oh, it ended. Did they complete the story?
No.
Oh my gosh. Well, why would we even watch it then?
So... I don't know.
I've had this show recommended to me by somebody. So why would they recommend it if it's incomplete?
All I know, and I don't know any details beyond this, but between books 6 and 7, there is a significant time jump.
Oh,
which is a very intriguing, and I don't know anything about what that entails.
I'm just gonna.
I don't know what significant means. If significant means. So based on some of the time jumps just between the books, you know, so far I've read through book 4, and I think the series spans about 4 or 5 years at this point. So I'm imagining, this is a guess, I don't know any of this, but I'm guessing a time jump of over a decade between book 6 and 7.
Here's Reddit. The TV show does not complete the story, but it ends in a very satisfying fashion that leaves the door open for more story.
Yes.
Obviously, because it
yes.
doesn't cover the whole story.
So I don't know. But so I understand it's relatively faithful through those first 6 seasons.
Okay. Wow. I just got a tiny bit of spoiler just looking things up here, but I don't mind because I'm not in love with it yet, and I'll forget what I just read.
I understand.
All right, so book 2, I think I will read. Okay, listeners, I'm sorry. Maybe this wasn't a full review. Ben, is there anything you want to say about book 1? I know it's been a while for you. I'm going to hit the music.
It honestly hasn't been that much. So I've been going through these at a pretty good clip, and I kind of like the length of them. They're each around 20 hours or so, so it's not like the Wheel of Time where it felt like, yeah, it's not 9 books, but you know, Wheel of Time, every book was like twice as long as one of these. So it really isn't as much of an investment as some other series like this. I feel like they move along pretty good. So far, I would rank them... 3, 2, 4, 1.
Oh, so the one I'm not that into is your least favorite.
Yeah, I've enjoyed them all, but the first one is probably the least intriguing for me.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. Listeners, I don't know if I want to say join us or not, because I'm not sure if I will, but maybe. I think after this conversation, I feel more interested in reading book 2. So
yeah, I think that if you're intrigued by those elements, book 2 is going to continue to ramp up.
I've got some important questions for Ben. It's going to be all spoilers for future stories. But for now, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono.
And we're the Sci-Fi Christians, signing off.
Goodbye.
Ben, you know there's one question I have.
The time travel?
No. Is there time travel?
Not yet.
Wait, do you think there will be? Like, from what you've read, is there hints of time travel?
No, there's no hints of time travel. I just thought that was the one question you'd want to know, but I guess not.
It's going to be aliens. At what point, which book, if any of the ones you've read, introduces aliens? And is this a question you even want to answer?
I guess it depends on what you mean by introduced. From one perspective, you've already been introduced.
That's what I was going to say. Is the protomolecule itself, is it a life form or is it a machine?
It's a yes. All of the above.
It's a biological machine?
Yeah. Let's just say that there's some really, really interesting stuff in 3 and then a little bit less in 4, but the end of 4 also ramps up some pretty interesting alien directions. And I will also say, without getting into too specifics, but when you said that there were hints of 3-body problem in there, you are not wrong.
Are they connected?
No.
Okay, but there's some similarities. Okay. And, oh, well, in 3-body, well, that's a whole different spoiler. I haven't watched the show yet, by the way. Yeah, I do want to. Okay, let's talk about the zombies, because I want to make sure I understand what's happening here. We first see Julie. She's like ripped open.
Yep.
Seemingly dead, but of course we found out she's not dead later. But then there's also, I believe, humans that have just been taken over mentally, and they're like puking that brown stuff.
Right.
I mean, obviously, everything I'm describing is grossing me out, even just to talk about.
I understand.
This is something that turned me off from the book in general. So is it true? Did I read it and understand it correctly? That there's some that are just being mutilated, and then there's some that their body, just as is being taken over.
Yeah, I mean, the protomolecule is trying to spread itself, basically. And so and how it does that varies from case to case. I would say that the way it does it in book two is less gross. More super soldier monster than it is zombie.
Yes, I wasn't related to the zombie element. And were they, it was zombie just like a shorthand that they're not literally
zombies.
I mean, what I mean is their essence gone or?
Yeah, so the protomolecule is, to the extent I understand it, because I'm still learning stuff, is basically an unthinking thing that this alien civilization sent out. It's described at one point as a bridge builder. Like, it's just out there to go and create infrastructure to build a bridge for this alien civilization. So it's an unthinking, unfeeling thing that's just meant to create infrastructure to pave the way for this civilization.
So Fred, at the end of book one, has the protomolecule. Uh-huh. And you've already kind of hinted that in book two, he's going to do stuff with it.
Somebody is. Oh, does Fred have the only one?
Yeah, I mean, we were left to believe in book one, there's Venus and there's like one little vial.
Yeah.
But maybe not.
Maybe not.
What's that guy's name that died? Starts with a D. Dresden.
Yeah.
His company?
Could be.
What are they called?
There's the Mao company.
Something else. Wait, isn't that Julie's name?
Yeah. Her father is an industrialist.
No, he worked for something else. Protogen?
Yes.
Okay. Are they a factor anymore? Are they?
Yes, they'll be back.
I feel like you're like being really timid with your answers.
I don't want to give away too much. Like there, I think that part of what I've really enjoyed about the series and am enjoying is just sort of letting it unfold.
Okay, so you're in book four. You're about to start book five. Let me just ask you this.
I'm like 2 minutes into book five. I started at the very end of my run.
Are we in conflict, humans? Are humans in conflict with aliens yet?
Huh. Kinda.
Okay. And lastly,
it's you know how I answered the Julie Mao question? It's not that I'm trying to be cagey. Yeah. It's that it's similar trajectory.
Here's where I'll end it. Here's where I will end this whole conversation. The Expanse, just the title of the series. On one hand, you could think of space because we're in space travel. But I believe
Ronald.
But I believe that somebody referred to as what's happening to people when the protomolecule messes with them as like an expanse.
Yeah.
So to you, does the title The Expanse refer to what's happening with the protomolecule or what's happening in space?
I think I'm still trying to figure that out. I've had that same thought and I've gone back and forth.
Because they are expanding, like they're ripping open.
Yes. Let's just say, I mean, when you're asking about aliens in the sense of little green men or their equivalent have not shown up yet. But aliens in the sense of other protomolecule-like things are becoming more and more plentiful in the series.
Okay. In a good way or in a gross way?
In a good way. You've seen the grossest stuff.
Okay, that's a good to know. Okay, Ben, you did it. I was hoping this would happen. You've won me over. I'll check out book two. Let me ask you this. Total separate question, but Three Body Problem, the Netflix series, have you finished it yet?
Yes.
Okay, I haven't watched it yet, but I've read the book. Of course, I love it. I'll try to watch it soon, and we can review it here, right here, on the Sci-Fi Christian podcast.
But, you know, my biggest Netflix recommendation right now is Ripley.
Really?
I love it.
I saw that it was on Letterboxd. So it's just one-and-done miniseries?
There's five books, so it's possible. They've talked about being open to doing more, but at the moment, it's one-and-done. It adapts the entire first novel. It is incredible.
Okay.
It's probably the best thing I've watched this year.
Amazing.
I loved it.
All right. Listeners, that's all from here. We said it already. Thank you, and so long, folks.
Goodbye. Now, the real question is Miller alive or dead?
Well, same as Julie, right? I just got the sense that he's the same as Julie. When he takes his helmet off and gloves off and holds her hand at the end, I actually gasped. Even though I knew he was going to die anyways,
yeah. Or
perhaps that was what was going to happen. I was just like, this is gross and messed up, but he's doing it. He's all in. My takeaway is Julie and Miller are running Venus. That's my takeaway.
It's very hard to answer the questions.
I know. I don't think I'm as interested in the Venus subplot as you are, but I guess we'll see what happens.